It's time for Relationship Insights with Carrie Abbott, a show with life-giving conversations that matter. And now, your host, Carrie Abbott.
Well, another beautiful, sunny, really cold day in the Pacific Northwest and beyond. I am so grateful for the fact that we have heat. I know that sounds funny, but I know there are those who are homeless who are cold right now, and I just want to be thinking about others in the time that we huddle in our homes and get warm and cozy. There are many people who still don't have their needs met, so keep them in mind, pray for them, and do something to help the homeless or the needy this season. It's a great time to do that, especially when it's this cold out. And you know, the snow reminds me of one of my favorite topics that we cover on the show, and that is embryo adoptions. You might say, how does embryo adoptions have anything to do with the snow? Well, the first time I heard about embryo adoptions nationally, I believe, was on Focus on the Family years ago, and the term snowflake babies was the first term that I heard, and I thought it was a little cute and a little strange that those, that would be the name, but it really is an endearing picture of just this, the uniqueness of the DNA of each life that is formed when conception happens. And what, and I don't have all the science to give you right now, but I have done something better for you. I've brought our friend Maria Lancaster into the studio and asked her to share her personal story about an embryo adoption and also how it led her and her husband, Jeff, to move into a ministry that's very unique. So first of all, welcome to the studio, Maria.
Oh, thank you for having me.
It's always fun to be together.
It is.
And you have a personal story that a lot of people still don't know. We've shared your story a couple times. It's always a good time during the winter, I think, to share something when we talk about the beauty of the birth of Christ. It's always great mm-hmm. to talk about babies and life and how that happens. So let's go back in your story a little bit. First of all, let me give people a little bit of background. You are the founder, one of the founders of Embryo Adoptions of Cedar Park. And you have been involved with that, which we'll go into more details now, for how many years?
Six.
Time flies mm-hmm. when you're having fun. So before we go to kind of the inner workings of that kind of ministry, let's go back in time to your story, because this idea of snowflake babies or embryo adoptions really impacted you personally first.
It did. And, you know, I had never heard of it in my entire life. And my husband came home one day after listening to Dr. James Dobson interview a woman named Marlene Streak, who had adopted, indeed, someone else's frozen embryos remaining from fertility treatments. And leading up to that point, my husband and I had tried in vain to have children of our own. I continued to miscarry. And the doctor's opinion was that if we wanted to be able to have children, that we would have to do IVF or have an egg donor. And we just did not, that was not comfortable for us. And mm-hmm. so we had to kind of put that on the back burner and wait. And so during that period of time, go ahead.
I was going to say something about the miscarriage, because I've had people come to me privately and say, you know, the miscarriage that they experienced or a family member experienced was really traumatic. And I don't want to wash over that part of your story as if it's just a common thing that we all have to get used to. It's very difficult when you're struggling and trying to have a viable pregnancy and you experience miscarriage once, but a couple times can be devastating. And this for you went on for how long?
Oh, several years, you know, wow. Like about eight or nine years.
Oh,
and
goodness.
I lost three pregnancies during that period of time.
Goodness,
and
Maria.
So with each subsequent miscarriage, you know, you're getting older.
Mm-hmm.
It takes longer to get pregnant. And then your hope.
Right.
At each pregnancy, you know, is at a level of desperation mm-hmm. because, you know, in previous losses. So, yes, miscarriage is a completely devastating experience. And it's kind of unfortunate, as a society, we don't really know how to grieve with people, grieve for people, or to recognize it. And it's one of those things that's just awkward.
Yes. And I want to say, and I know you would feel the same, for anybody who's struggled through that or hasn't felt like you have a right to grieve the loss of that baby, that's a baby and that's a life in heaven waiting for us. Mm-hmm. And I know people say, well, is it viable? And, you know, no, not viable to carry to term, but we're not in charge of life and death. God is. And even mm-hmm. though it's a huge loss, we can trust him that child is valuable in his eyes. And mm-hmm. I just want to bring dignity to those who have a miscarriage story. Mm-hmm. I had a couple myself and, you know, we don't talk about it. But I think it's important that we do share, since we're talking about babies here, that there are those listening who mm-hmm. have struggled and in fact are tuned in quite intently now because you have told this part of your story and you had despair and then your husband comes home hearing something on the radio.
Right. And I think to your point, had we not had the losses and had the vacuum and the void, when my husband heard that story, his mind may have been drifting to somewhere else.
So true.
But when he heard it, because of our shared pain and his desire to want to mend that, mm-hmm. when he heard this possible hope, he flew in through the door and I was standing in the kitchen and he just blurted it out like a shotgun. He could hardly say it fast enough.
Wow.
And he says, I think that's what we're supposed to do.
Now, when you heard the news, since mm-hmm. you'd had the losses,
mm-hmm.
were you tired? Did you feel like, I can't have hope again? This has already been too devastating? Or was there something that in you that thought, wait a minute, this could be different?
No, interestingly enough, when I had the last miscarriage, I was just numb and I prayed about it and I thought, well, I can do one of two things. I can go into a sea of despair or I can go into some action. So I went up to the baby store and I bought a cradle and I put it at the foot of my bed, our bed. And so when I knew there was a baby coming,
you just had this sense.
I knew it. I had a sense that was and there were some other things that had happened that kind of pointed in that direction, even after having my final miscarriage at 46.
Wow.
So I was really old too. So, you know, the idea that I would
wouldn't
actually
call that really old, but for babies,
it doesn't sound old to me now, but
right
it
now
was.
Looking back, I was so young.
Right. 46 would sound pretty good right
is
now.
Looking great. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but anyway, at the time, you know, 46 is an old maternal age and I miscarried. And so the odds that I would ever get pregnant again was like below zero.
You're
right.
Starting to sound like one of the ladies in the Bible, you know, all those great stories. You'd be like, sure, you're going to have a baby.
Right. Exactly.
So when you got the crib, I'm curious, this is before Jeff heard the story of embryo adoptions on the radio show. When he saw the crib, did he just sort of shake his head or did he have a sense too? No.
I think he knew better not to. On a husband level,
crib,
don't say anything about this. So.
Just let it go.
Oh. It was really good for socks and stuff.
Okay, there. See, cribs are handy. They do hold stuff. Mm-hmm. All right, so he tells you, and did your heart sort of leap for joy?
Well, I mean, I just knew. I mean, I just knew. The crib was in there, and I knew that the Lord was going to fill it.
Mm.
I mean, I knew it in my bone marrow, and I don't know how I knew, but so when he said it, I had an epiphany moment mm-hmm. where, well, yes, this in fact is going to be how we have our child.
So once you heard the news, mm-hmm. did you start investigating how this might, this was a while ago. So this was not something that happened.
This was
a
like 12 years ago.
Okay. And this was very new on the scene then.
Very new. I called and there was only 10 babies born in the country this way.
Okay.
And so we knew we were kind of on the cutting edge mm-hmm. of this.
Mm-hmm.
And however, Dr. Dobson endorsed it, and we knew that he would have really thought this thing through before he ever would do something like make a public announcement. So from a moral point of view and a practical point mm-hmm. of view, we trusted his judgment
mm-hmm.
and thought, you know, let's try
if this. Dr. Dobson thinks it's okay,
it's probably okay.
So then walk me mm-hmm. through the steps that you had to take in not every detail, but what
we found out where they were, where the agency were, Marlene had gone, the lady that Dr. Dobson interviewed, and we had to get a home study, just like adopting a born child. Mm-hmm. Social worker came to our house, and we had to provide, you know, financial records and do a criminal background check and all of those kinds of things. And then I had to get a letter from my doctor. So I went to a fertility doctor who was gracious enough to say, I'll try this, because I was the only one in Washington State who had ever done it. So it was really, you know, beyond the realm of anything anyone
right.
had
so
done
new.
In our state. Mm-hmm. So new. Mm-hmm. So he said yes, that he would do it. And
That's fantastic.
And then we were matched with a family in North Carolina, and the embryos had been frozen for 4 years, and they flew them frozen, FedEx, to my doctor's office in Bellevue and merely thawed them out. They were two cells, thawed them out and let them grow to eight cells and put two in my womb. And I was pregnant with twins for a while, and then I lost one, but then my daughter Alicia was born.
Oh, this is just, it doesn't matter how many times I hear it. I'm so arrested by this. We know that we are really a formation of cells. We know
yes.
this. And when you start to study the biology of it, and yet it's in the life that is in there, and the blueprint, the DNA that's already there, and the design of the person all there, just unfolding and unraveling like a mystery before our eyes. Usually it's hidden, that mystery, inside. And to see the beginning of that, that whole process is absolutely amazing. If you just tuned in, I'm talking to Maria Lancaster, and Maria has a personal story about embryo adoptions. And we're also talking about opportunities for embryo adoptions for those of you who are struggling with fertility or know someone struggling with infertility, because we know that that's very common now for a variety of reasons. And maybe it's because people are talking more about it. But the fact is that there's a beautiful story waiting for people, and there are beautiful frozen embryos that are waiting to be adopted. This language, this idea might be new to you. When we come back from the break, Maria is going to explain more of how this works, but also how it impacted her personally and how their story has lived out with Alicia. And then we're going to share more about the ministry. We'll be right back.
An update from sponsor and popular guest, Dr. Teresa Deischer, founder of Sound Choice Pharmaceutical Institute.
What we have found is that across continents and across decades, change points in autistic disorder are clearly associated with the introduction of vaccines produced using human fetal cell lines.
While this statement might be quite shocking, it is an undisputed fact that unborn babies have been exploited in vaccines, as well as products we commonly use, like cosmetics, biologic medicines, and more. It is time to support the groundbreaking pro-life research being done at Sound Choice Pharmaceutical Institute, helping them create a certification program to let consumers know which products are free of human contaminants and exploitation. Take action today. Go to soundchoice.org and click on the Sound Choice certified logo. That's soundchoice.org.
Pink is popping up everywhere. Have you heard about Legacy's True Pink campaign to help all women live in agreement with their design? They have great resources to empower young women to live with purity, integrity, nobility, and kindness, or pink. And it's True Pink because the principles are found in timeless truth, the Word of God. God designed His girls to be whole, healthy, and powerful for expanding His kingdom. Although the culture may be confusing young ladies, True Pink has a positive, intentional roadmap. And right now, they have a special offer for this month only. When you buy a leader guide with three student guides, you'll get the fourth one free. High school girls love this True Beauty Bible study. True Pink is changing the world one healthy girl at a time. To order, go to thelegacyinstitute.com or call 425-485-5346. Thelegacyinstitute.com.
Hi, this is Carrie Abbott. You know, we're so thankful you're tuning in to hear biblical truth on relationships for the whole family. From the start, our goal has been to encourage and strengthen you as you live in agreement with God's design for you as a man or woman. For this reason, we love to point you to excellent resources to supplement the teaching on this radio show. Since the holidays are just around the corner, we have a special offer that will make a great gift for yourself or someone on your Christmas list. For a donation of $25 or more to the Legacy Institute, you will be able to select a book as our thank you for supporting our radio ministry. Just go to thelegacyinstitute.com to make a donation and put your book selection in the comment box. Donate today to continue hearing relationship truth delivered with grace. Go to thelegacyinstitute.com or call 425-485-5346. That's thelegacyinstitute.com. Thank you so much for your support.
And now, back to more Relationship Insights with Carrie Abbott.
So I'm talking to my friend Maria Lancaster, who is the founder of Embryo Adoption Services of Cedar Park. And she is telling her personal story. And this is so common. We meet somebody who is involved in a ministry, and lo and behold, they have their own story to tell, which is often how we get involved in the ministries we're in. And Maria, you and your husband Jeff struggled with miscarriages for 8 years and loss after loss. And finally, Jeff hears a story of embryo adoptions on Focus on the Family years ago, 12 years ago, Dr. Dobson interviewing somebody, and he came home and told you, and you both just knew this is something we're supposed to do. Now, the way you described it before the break is fascinating to people, but let's go back just a little bit. When you decided to go through the process, did you tell a lot of people, or did you feel like, hey, this is probably a good idea to just tell a close few friends and then wait and see? Because a lot of people don't even share the news of a pregnancy till the second or third month because they don't know for sure, and you'd already had miscarriages. Did you decide to keep the news to yourself?
Well, I kind of did a test. So I talked to a couple of friends, who one my best friend from junior high and another friend who lived in South Dakota who doesn't know anyone else I know. So I thought I can kind of run
always
this,
a safe route.
Kind of run this past a couple of people and kind of get their reactions before we decide how we're going to proceed. Mm. And so I didn't get the reaction that I'd hoped for. You know, there was kind of like silence about it. And then I talked to Jeff about it, and I said, you know, this is so different and so new.
It is.
That, you know, trying to explain it to people is too many words, and it raises too many questions, and we need to just let this be our own process like it is in normal pregnancy.
Right.
And then when there's something to talk about, if there's something to talk about, if I get pregnant, then we can figure out how we're going to explain this.
Okay. And that's the reason I'm saying that is people, when it is a new idea, people think, how in the world would I explain that to people? Listen, we're not obligated to explain everything.
Right.
And this process is very tender and vulnerable. Mm-hmm. There are no guarantees, just like there aren't with the regular process. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important for people to know that. I also think we should go back and explain again what you said before the break, which is these are frozen embryos from fertility treatments that were left over from fertility treatments that families actually have through their doctor put in the freezer.
Right.
And these are lives. These are real lives. And this is why this issue came up with Dr. Dobson. He's pro-life. Mm-hmm. And he discovered as well many years ago that there were hundreds of thousands of these frozen embryos due to these fertility treatments. And what do families normally do with them? Why don't you tell us what normally happens with these embryos?
Well, normally the embryos are reserved for family building. In about 95% of the embryos in the freezer, you know, the families that created them intend to transfer them at some point to continue to try to have either a pregnancy or a subsequent pregnancy.
Right.
And then, but there's about 600,000 embryos in the freezer right now. And so about between 5 and 10% of those embryos are kind of, they're not going to be transferred, and decisions have to be made about what the long-term solution is going to be. And a lot of families that have embryos in the freezer don't really realize that this is an option.
Right, that they can actually create an adoption plan for the embryos they were planning on using.
Yes.
And for whatever reason, sometimes it's health issues, family changes, somebody passes away, they're no longer going to use these embryos. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the reasons it's important for people to recognize we're not addressing the how they got into the freezer, because that's not the point of your story, whether it's ethical or not. And I know a lot of people, that's a question mark in their mind. Mm-hmm. What we're saying is the fact is now they are
now
there.
Now that they're there.
Right.
What do we do? There are millions of people that struggle with infertility.
Right.
And all these embryos that could be available to these families. And it's a win for both.
Yes.
It's a win for both sides. And also, the born children have an opportunity to have a relationship at some point with their full siblings in the donor family.
Mm.
So there's many benefits,
right.
Not just the immediate pregnancy.
Right. Let's go back to your pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
Your transfer, everything went fine.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. you were pregnant, mm-hmm. went through the pregnancy mm-hmm. just fine.
Yep.
Was that just a gift, getting to go through the actual pregnancy? This is the other part of this kind of adoption, is you actually get to go through the pregnancy.
Yes, I was able to carry a child, and she was born. I was able to nurse her just like, you know, regular. And so,
amazing.
You know, it was the same as having my own child. And mm-hmm. she is our mm-hmm. own child.
Mm-hmm.
And when you give birth to them, you definitely have that bonding experience, and
oh, yeah.
There's nothing that seems like she does not belong to us in any way. Oh, you know,
she's beautiful.
A lovely girl.
She is a lovely girl. I love Alicia, and I've known her for years now, and mm-hmm. watching her grow up is just such a treasure. Mm-hmm. It's such a precious story. And yet all babies are precious. Mm-hmm. All, you know, all children are miracles, because mm-hmm. there's this royal providential process mm-hmm. that God has put into place, regardless of the stories.
Mm-hmm.
So all children, he
yes.
sees them that way.
Mm-hmm.
This is such a unique way to have a child. After you had Alicia, and mm-hmm. she's doing fine, mm-hmm. and she is a part of the family, and everybody loves her who meets her.
Mm-hmm.
What happened inside of your heart that you decided to get involved in a ministry that would allow others the same opportunity?
Actually, that happened quite by accident. I wasn't planning on it at all. And I was
going
about my life, having a good time. And I was at Cedar Park Church for something. And I think I had done some embryo adoption awareness, or I had a table or something out mm-hmm. there. And Pastor Joe had been gracious enough to, you know, let us spread the word a little bit. I can't remember what event it was, but nevertheless, I was out there. And mm-hmm. then it just leapt out of my mouth. Why don't we start an embryo adoption agency? And he says, well, that sounds like a good idea. And I knew as soon as I said it, I was going to have to do it.
Of course.
And so the rest is history. It just happened. And we talked about it and developed a program and decided how we were going to frame it. And we started on November of 2008.
And so, you've been going strong since.
Going strong ever since. We sent out a press release and got on the front page of the Seattle Times a week later, and that went viral. And so I just had a stack of clients like immediately. And,
right.
Yeah. So it was a miracle, really.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. Now, I know we're gonna actually have you join me again so you can tell some of the amazing stories of some of the families. We've had some of the families on before, and I know people like to hear the details of how this works, because I know right now there are people listening saying, mm-hmm. I wonder if that's for me. I wonder mm-hmm. if that's for me. Let's speak to the person who's just wondering, should I consider this? What advice would you give that person?
I think they should go to my website.
Okay.
AdoptEmbryos.org.
Okay.
And just look around, and my phone number's on there, and call me. I'll talk. And I'm available to
Good.
Talk.
Good. Well, and you have a book that you wrote that you actually share the stories, called Souls on Ice. We've interviewed you on that before. So mm-hmm. people, you can go to the archives and you can hear that interview.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to go through all the details, but this book you want to offer kind of a giveaway, which
yes,
is pretty fun.
Yes, I was going to do a kind of a little Christmas spirit thing here.
Love
so,
that.
So there's a book called Souls on Ice, and Mike Huckabee did the foreword for me, and it's 12 miracle stories, and my story with my husband is the first story. It's a really great book and very touching, I've been told.
It is.
And so for the first five people that call my 800 number, which is 888-959-7712, leave your name and address, and I will send you a free book.
Now, that's a great deal. You just call, and I would encourage you, those of you who really have a heart for this, you want to pass this book on to somebody else who's struggling. I read this book on a plane flight somewhere. I'm sobbing the whole time, which is not unusual when I'm reading great books and really touching stories of people mm-hmm. who share the struggle of infertility, which is so difficult to live through, and to have hope that there might be a process whereby a couple could go through the pregnancy process and adopt these embryos. Mm-hmm. And there's no guarantee on the embryos. They don't always take. The thawing doesn't always go exactly the way that it should. We just want to be candid mm-hmm. about that. But when it works, it's miraculous. Mm-hmm. and the stories are beautiful. So let's give that website one more time. And Maria's going to be with me again to share more of the stories and also a little bit more of the detail on how the process works and a story that she has about Mike Huckabee that is just precious and George W. Bush. There's more stories to tell with this woman, I'm telling you. Go ahead and give the website.
Okay, so the website is adoptembryos.org. And if you want the book, you can call 888-959-7712. And if you forget the number, you can go to the website and get the number.
And the first five callers.
First five callers.
The first five books will be, and that's the her Christmas gift to you. Yeah. So, well, Maria, thank you for sharing your personal story.
You're welcome.
It's so touching, so encouraging, and so life-giving when we think about babies and Christmas and the Christ child. God is for life, ladies and gentlemen, at all stages, all ages, from beginning to natural end. And so we should be as well. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
And everybody else, we'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Relationship Insights with Carrie Abbott. This program is a ministry of the Legacy Institute and is listener supported. Please donate today to keep this program on the air. To contact the Legacy Institute, write to P.O. Box 82746, Kenmore, Washington 98028. The phone number is 425-485-5346 and online at thelegacyinstitute.com or carrieabbott.com.